This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I am highly caffeinated and starving, so get ready for that kind of a show tonight. I'll explain in a minute. We're going to talk in a moment, yes, about riots, but response to riots and things like that. In fact, I owe you a little bit of a history tidbit that I promised you last night and then not ended up getting to. Tulsi Gabbard said something about the atomic bombings. We'll get to that. The Trump administration has promised more ICE raids. We'll talk about that. Why Democrats are always referencing the streets. Got to get in the streets. What's Gavin Newsom really doing with his whole arrest me stuff? All that, your children's education, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I need to warn you of something right now. I am currently fasting today. And my reasoning for it is I've heard that it's healthy every now and then. Go a half a day, go three quarters of a day without eating, just coffee and water, just kind of getting the body detoxed and all that. And who knows whether that's true. Wanted to do it today. Occasionally I do that. So I'm in a dreadful mood. I'm hopefully going to eat a cheesesteak or something in between segments. At some point I'm going to break it. But I'm warning you right now, that's where I'm at. So you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Now, let's talk about riots, rebellion, how you should respond. In fact, before we get to LA and the continuation of all this insanity, have you ever heard of Thebes? Do you ever know what Alexander the Great did in Thebes? And no, this isn't your Alexander the Great history story, so don't think that I'm doing that now, because this is going to be fairly quick. But Alexander the Great's father was Philip II, an incredible conqueror by his own right. Philip II built Alexander the Great's army, trained it, trained Alexander the Great himself. You could argue Alexander the Great was born on third base. He just happened to be so incredible that he got to home. We'll put it to you that way. Philip II. Philip II died violently. And he died violently right after he had essentially conquered Greece. Remember, this was ancient Greece at the time. It wasn't a unified place. Sparta was its own place. Thebes was its own place. Athens was its own place. They were known as city-states. And they were essentially countries. Philip didn't like that. He wanted to unify it and rule it. Depending on whether you're a Philip defender or a Philip hater, he fought a whole bunch of wars, paid a whole bunch of bribes to bring it all under his domain. And he succeeded. Finally got them all under his thumb. And at the celebration of this, he had somebody, his bodyguard, maybe, we can't really tell. We know his name. It was a guy he also had a relationship with. We don't have to get into all of it right now. The guy killed him. Right in front of everybody, stuffed a dagger in his ribs and killed Philip II. Now remember, Philip II had just unified this new Greece. One unified Greece. Then Philip II dies. Alexander the Great rises. Has to kill a few people. Rises as the new king. The heir to the throne. And Alexander the Great knows in this moment that he's going to be tested. And he is tested. Barbarian tribes in the north are testing him. He has to take an army up there and go fight a bunch of them and get them back in line. But that wasn't the big problem. The big problem was a huge, major city-state, major power player in Greece, a place known as Thebes. Everyone's heard of Athens and Sparta. Thebes doesn't get near the pub. They were just as big, just as important. Thebes was a big deal. Thebes decides to rebel. They are not only in rebellion, they are encouraging other city-states to rebel with them. They believe with Philip II gone, this is their moment to rebel. Now, Alexander the Great, because he's Alexander the Great, is not going to put up with this. He's 20 years old at the time, I might put out. But he's already a beast. He's already killed men in combat, many of them. Leads from the front. Leads this amazing army. He takes his army and he marches this army down to Thebes. Now, let me ask you something, because this is famous. There are a million books have been written about it. You probably already know about it. If you had a history teacher that was worth anything, you know about it. Alexander the Great is the new king. He's putting down rebellion after rebellion, and this major city rebels. His army's outside of the gates. What should he do? How should he handle this problem? And look, we're obviously talking about the LA riots in a very roundabout way, but it's very appropriate. If you're Alexander the Great, what if you want to do the nice guy routine? What if you don't want to hurt anybody? Of course, I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm assuming you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt people. What if you're Alexander the Great and you think to yourself, man, I like these Thebans. I used to come down here and chase women around in the summertime. I want to maintain the city. What if Alexander the Great, when Thebes is in rebellion, what if he comes up with a bunch of gold and prizes for Thebes and he tells Thebes, hey, I'm sorry you're angry. Let me buy you some gifts. You know what? Actually, let me be extra nice. You don't want to be in this little country we've created now? I'll let you go. I'll just let it go. That's what a nice person would be inclined to do. Maybe that's what you would be inclined to do. After all, it's a big city. Men, women, children, old people, young, everything. But let's play this out, because we're dealing with this right now in the United States of America. If Alexander the Great lets Thebes go, or lets Thebes off easy, what happens from there? Athens has been wanting to rebel against Alexander the Great since they were brought under his thumb. They fought a war against his father to try to not join this group. Of course, they lost, so they had to join. What does Athens do if Alexander the Great lets Thebes go? What do the other city-states, large and small, do if Alexander the Great shows up and is the nice guy and lets it go? You know what they do. Don't be naive. They leave. So Alexander the Great doesn't let it go. Alexander the Great kicks in the walls. He enslaves all 30,000 inhabitants of the city. That doesn't count the roughly 6,000 he kills in the battle. Thebes never stood a chance against Alexander the Great. He was Alexander the Great, right? He didn't get that name for nothing. He beat the living crap out of them, enslaved everyone that he didn't kill, and then burnt the city to the ground. He spared some Greek temples and things like that for religious reasons and whatnot, but burns the city to the ground. To this day, it's controversial. People talk about it, like write books about it. What an evil jerk. What a great man. But guess how many major rebellions Alexander the Great dealt with after Thebes was done smoldering? Zero. None. In life,
dealing with rebellion, dealing with anarchy, dealing with opponents, political opponents, military opponents, is almost always dirty and rough, violent sometimes. It's hard for good people who want to live good, normal lives. I want to go to school. I want to go to work. I want to go to church. I want to go to softball. I want to, but normal people who live normal lives oftentimes have a hard time accepting that things are necessary. Bad things, rough things, sometimes violent things are necessary to prevent worse things. But that's how life works. Donald Trump made the controversial decision to not only send in the National Guard, to send in United States Marines. And then he came out today and he announced something else, and I love it. And we are going to discuss that in detail in just a moment. Before we discuss that, let's discuss something else that sucks. Not just rebellion, political war and such. Pain. Every day, do you fight a personal battle with pain? When you open up your eyes in the morning, what is it on your body that has you dreading getting out of bed, bending over, putting on your shoes, going to work, going for a walk? Does your back hurt all the time? Do your hands hurt? What has you not doing things you used to love? Hunting, fishing, racquetball, golf. What have you given up because of pain? What if you could have that pain gone? That's what Relief Factor has been doing for people, over a million of them. Relief Factor is not pain medication. It's 100% drug-free supplement that goes after the root of the cause of your pain, the inflammation. The longer you take it, the better it works. Every day you wake up and the pain has faded and faded and faded until one day it's gone. 1-800, the number 4 relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We love your emails. Love, hate, death threats. All are welcome. Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. All are welcome here. Now, we just talked about how you have to respond to rebellions. And it does. It's not even necessarily about the rebellion that's taking place. It's about the next one and the next one and the next one. And I'm telling you right now, these communists, the street ones and the elite ones, they are dead set against anything stopping the revolution. They have moved so far forward. These people feel like they can taste final victory. And they feel as if the election of Trump, they feel like they are losing it, in danger of losing it. They are operating with a level of desperation that we cannot fully comprehend. That's how desperate they are. What you're seeing happen in Los Angeles right now is not the big one. This is the first one. This is what's known as probing the lines. You ever heard of probing the lines? When you attack somebody's perimeter, their defenses, you send a few guys over here and see how they respond. And then you send a few guys over there and see how they respond, testing for weaknesses. They're testing right now. ICE was in Los Angeles deporting barbarians. They thought they could mobilize, cause enough problems, and get Trump to back off. Trump came out today, said a few things.
How long will they be there until you think?
Until there's no danger. It's easy. Look, it's common sense. You ask me that question.
How long will the National Guard be there until there's no danger? That wasn't even the best thing he said. Remember, this is a calculated move by the communists to stop deportations. They want to cause enough of a ruckus that ICE leaves LA, they leave Chicago, they leave New York, they leave all these central hubs for foreign barbarians and never come back because, after all, we don't want another riot. Trump, man, sometimes he just nails it.
I've been here before, and I would
just stop on that for a second. Credit to him for learning. Donald Trump was here before and did not fully understand at the time who and what he was dealing with. This was during the George Floyd riots. He didn't get it. Understandably, most people didn't get it. Maybe you didn't get it. It was hard to grasp it at the time, what was happening after George Floyd died, and there are riots all over the country. I don't know. Do we need federal police reform? Should we do a cop roundtable? I don't understand. Did not fully get it. But then he sat back and watched the animals. And he watched as a bullet shot him in the ear. And he watched them throw him in prison and arrest him. He watched and watched and watched. And finally, he learned and he understands who and what he's dealing with now. That's what he's referencing at the beginning of this. I've been here before. He has. And he found out how savage these people can be.
I've been here before. And I went right by every rule. And I waited for governors to say, send in the National Guard. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And they just wouldn't do it. It kept going on and on. Got worse and worse. And in Minneapolis, that city was burning down 7 days, and I said, I don't care. The governor, this guy wouldn't call the National Guard. And we ultimately just sent in the National Guard. We stopped it. But that was after 7 days. And I said to myself, if that stuff happens again, we've got to make faster decisions because they don't want to do it. The radical left, it's usually radical left, and it's usually governors that are Democrat, and they don't want to call them in. They don't want to save lives. They don't want to save property. They don't want to call them in. I don't know what it is.
People, many people, myself included, don't want to absolve myself of it, have been critical of Trump in the past for not learning from this or not learning for that or not moving off of something. You know, I love the vaccine. So anyone, myself included, who's been critical should give credit where credit's due. That's a man who says we should have been faster. I should not have let that go before. He learned. You let these animals go, the animals will run wild. He learned. And then, I mean, imagine you're Donald Trump right now. You're watching LA. Everyone's watching the fires. People can't take their eyes off the news. You're debating. How do you respond? What do you do? And even if you send in the Marines now, it would be tempting. If you're a president and you're worried about approval numbers and you're worried about writing your name on history and you want to be on Mount Rushmore, if you're that guy, okay, even if we put this one down, maybe we should back off and not do these in blue areas anymore. Here's what he said.
People expect to see similar operations in the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And with similar protests.
Yeah,
as
you know, we're moving murderers out of our country that were put here by Biden or the Europen. The Europen really did. I mean, the people, whether it's Lisa Monaco or whoever operated the Europen, these are criminals. The people are criminals that allowed these criminals into our country. We're going to get them out. We're getting them out. We're starting to get acknowledgement from the courts that, you know, there's a system. They come in without courts and they go out after they want trials and everything else. I think that's starting to work out now. Judges are starting to see what a terrible situation it is. Many of those people that you saw on television last night are criminals that were allowed into our country by Biden.
He goes on to talk about all this. Are you going to stop? Are you going to slow down? Nope. We're getting them out of the country. Good for Donald Trump. That's how you respond. Fast, and we're not slowing down. When the communist begs you to slow down, you ramp it up. Aggressive. Outstanding. Preborn's outstanding, too. Saving lives. I don't know that there's ever anything I'll ever do on this show that's going to be as meaningful as speaking up for preborn. I just don't know if there is. Because babies are completely defenseless in their mother's womb. Completely. They don't even have a voice yet. And if you want to kill it, you can. It's easy. It's even easier than it's ever been now. Roe versus Wade being overturned didn't change the fact there's the abortion pill now, this disgusting poison that you can take and your baby will die. Nothing's easier. Preborns out there introducing these mothers to their babies by ultrasound before they kill it. That's how you truly save lives, because that's how you truly change hearts. Mom becomes mom when she hears that heartbeat. She knows she's got a baby to protect. Help Preborn do it. $28 buys the ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And I should give you a heads up, because I saw Kash Patel said that the Bureau is going to come out and investigate the funding behind all these riots, anti-ICE riots and things like that. Taking down an organized crime organization? You probably shouldn't say it that way. But an organized crime organization is a long, complicated process. So I'm going to give you the layperson view of this. And then next hour, about 1 hour from now, we are going to bring on former FBI agent Steve Friend to explain this in a lot more nerdy detail than I'm about to explain it to you. Okay. First, RICO. I get a bunch of emails like RICO, RICO, RICO. Hey, RICO, what's going on? Why can't they use RICO? RICO? I know we all talk about it. We've all seen it in the movies and television. It is complicated, and it's very difficult to use RICO, and it should be difficult to use RICO. Allow me to explain. For the longest time, we're going to make this about the mob, but this is going to apply to communist groups and other people. For the longest time, the mob, the mafia, they were really, really above the law for a variety of different reasons. But the bosses, the guys running things, never went to prison, never got in trouble. And they never got in trouble because they figured out they need to not get their hands dirty. You, if you want somebody taken out, for instance, you don't, as the boss, grab a gun and go shoot somebody. You hire a guy, or a guy who works for you hires a guy. Or you get cutouts between you and the actual murder. Thus, you never committed any crimes. Sure, someone who worked for you committed a crime, but you didn't. Same thing works for drug dealers. In fact, it works this way to this day. Not long ago, there was a bunch of car thefts in my area, and the cops dug into it. What did they find? It was a bunch of 13 and 14-year-olds boosting cars. Why? What sense does that? Are these just delinquents? Well, yes, they're delinquents, but they're also part of a gang that knows you can use minors to commit the actual crimes. They're not going to go to prison. They're not even eligible. You're not actually stealing the car. It's that kid stealing the car. You get how it works. Okay. So the federal government came up with a way where the mob boss can go to jail. And that way is RICO. RICO is if you are part of an ongoing criminal enterprise, then you, whether or not you did the shooting, the drug dealing, the car stealing, you, that rhymed, Chris. What, Chris? It did. That was sweet. I know. It is a bit of Dr. Seuss with, you know, more flair. Either way, if you are part of an ongoing criminal enterprise, anything that criminal enterprise does, any crime it commits, whether or not you physically did it, you're guilty of it. Now, RICO cases are famously, famously difficult to what we just talked about, and they should be difficult. They should be. There should be a tremendous burden on the government to prove, A, that there is an ongoing criminal enterprise, B, that I am part of the ongoing criminal enterprise.
You know how many times it took them to take down John Gotti? I'm old enough to remember all the headlines when I was a kid. What was it, Time Magazine, Newsweek, something like that? Maybe it was even a newspaper, the Teflon Don and all that. It's hard to prove and should be. We don't like that when it's easy to identify the bad guy. Hey, the dude with a Molotov cocktail and a Mexican flag torching a cop car, that's the bad guy. How do we send him to prison? And how do we send whoever's stroking him a check to do that? How do we send them to prison? They're the bad guys who wrote the checks. The bad guys, send them to prison. When we, with our naked eyes, can identify criminal behavior, we want the outcomes to be fast, to be right away. That's not how it works. And if I can make myself sound a little, maybe I sound like a namby-pamby at this point in time, but we want that process to be complicated. That said, it has to be done. Taking down the various communist networks in this country must be done. But let me go ahead and give this to you. You know how many years, decades it took to really take apart the mafia's strength in this country? Decades of work, cases, failures, acquittals, decades of work. And taking down the Italian mafia in the United States of America is a tiny little warm-up compared to what it will take to take apart the communist funding machine of this country. In large part because the communist funding machine in many jurisdictions, federal, state, and local, works hand in hand with the government. Remember we talked about yesterday this CHRLA, one of the main groups funding and organizing these LA riots? 96% of their funding is from the government. Why is that? What's going on? Well, remember, if you are an elected Democrat in this country, you are either a former communist activist or you have to pretend to be, and you know that these various communist front groups, whatever they are, the gay ones, the black ones, the foreigner ones, the whatever ones they are, you understand they are your allies, they are your foot soldiers, they are your voters, they will attack your opponents, they will help you when you need it. So taking down these communist organizations is going to be difficult for the same reason it took so long to take down the mafia. It took so long to take down the mafia because they bought out the cops and the judges and the prosecutors. Once you find a way to pay off, to incorporate government personnel in your ongoing criminal organization, well, then it takes longer to take it down. Remember, for instance, what Brandon Darby talked to us about, our war against the cartels in Mexico and how there's one cartel that's reaping all the benefits. Remember what he told us? There's one cartel reaping all the benefits, one cartel not being attacked. Well, why? How did that happen? Oh, that's the cartel whose head is, I believe it's their Secretary of Defense, Mexico's Secretary of Defense. The head of the cartel is best friends with their Secretary of Defense. He has high up friends in government places, and he hasn't been touched. Not a finger laid on him. We can do this. If we get the FBI focused on it, if we get law enforcement focused on it, we can do this. It's going to take time. It's just going to take time and commitment. That's all. It's going to take time and commitment. We will talk to Steve Friend about that next hour in more depth. I want to shift gears on this and do a couple emails before we get to Tulsi Gabbard and what she said. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Do not forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to that here in a minute. I should probably clarify something. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the show that I've been fasting today. Just getting healthy. No big deal. Yes, I have been, Chris. Chris, Jewish producer Chris, and Aub, my wife, they're pushing back against the claims of a fast because I had one protein shake this morning. It wasn't even solid food, Chris. It was one protein shake to ensure my safety, really. What, Chris? What? Did it have calories in it? I mean, I can't be sure. I don't know. I don't look at the nutritional information. What difference does it make? Liquid doesn't count. Everyone knows liquid doesn't count. Don't put down my sacrifice, Chris. It's been nothing but water and coffee and, yes, a protein shake full of vitamins and minerals and other things. It still counts as a fast, all right? I don't know what your problem, whatever. Dear Mostly Pete, oh, I should probably clarify. I also did take my male vitality stack too. But that doesn't, what, Chris? That doesn't violate anything. It doesn't, see? Thank you. Even Chris backed me up on that. Look, I take it every day. I'm not going to miss a day for a fast. I'm not going to let my T levels drop. I don't want to be James Langford. I can't. I'm not going to fast enough that I turn into James Langford. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day because it has me full of energy, whether or not I'm sacrificially fasting or not. Do you want to feel like that no matter what? CHOQ.com. Or I've got a little something different for you because they have a summer savings discount right now. You can call them or text them. Here's what you have to text. 50CHOQ3000 is the number. And all you have to do is say Jesse sent you. 50CHOQ3000. All right? The dimes are standing by to text with you. Dear Mostly Peaceful Jesse, you go away for a few days and all hell breaks loose. Obviously, the Summer of Love Part 2 has been well planned, but what is the end game here? How soon before bullets start flying? How is this how a civil war gets started? Well, let's address the civil war aspect of this because, believe it or not, and I'm not telling you that's coming. I don't think that's coming. Okay, so I don't want to freak you out. But it's not outside of the realm of possibility. We've already talked endlessly about why they bring in foreigners. The mass importation of foreigners is central to their plans. We already talked about that. We got that. We already talked about how much they will protect that because it's central to their plans. They have to have it. If they lose that, they're in trouble. But there's another part of this, a simple geographical part of this, that does make some sort of a conflict, an internal conflict possible. And I've told you forever that I believe that unless we get a divorce, I believe eventually civil war is inevitable. Let's talk about what I had said before. Why did I tell you that under Joe Biden? What I told you was the communists will continue to use the government, the various branches of the government, against their political opponents, that eventually that would cause red states to stand up against the federal government. And eventually you would have a situation where the FBI rolls into town to arrest the latest Republican and the sheriff finally does his job with his deputies and says, no, you can't come in. The people gather. You can see easily. That's one of a million ways that could come to be. Well, let's reverse it because we're in a bit of a reversed power situation here. ICE is not going to stop these deportations. Trump already said they're going to continue city after city across the country. That's a fact. What else is a fact is elected Democrats, not just street animals anymore. Elected Democrats came up through the communist system, these different communist front groups. As we already pointed out, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has a long documented history of communist training, as in she traveled to Cuba multiple times to get communist training. And now she's mayor of LA. The blue states, the blue cities, they are going to fight for all the bad people like it's their everything, because it is their everything. Without it, they lose all political power. Let me tell you something someone told me, and I'm not saying this is true. But I'm saying it's been told to me by residents of California. If you could deport all the illegals out of California, California would be a red state again. That's been told to me by more than one person in California. With all the voter fraud that comes and everything else, that California would be a red state again if you could deport all the illegals. Now, let's just walk down this road and we'll see what I'm talking about. What if that happened? We deported all the illegals from California. California becomes a red state. What if, let's just make that the end goal. What if California was a red state? Do you know how many electoral votes that is for president? You understand that if there was ever a day that California became a red state again, that it would be, just numbers-wise, impossible for a Democrat to ever win a national election. Impossible. So when you look at the entire Democrat Party, the Communist Party, all the money behind it, all the people, domestic and foreign, who are invested in Democrats holding on to power. When you look at the fact the FBI, CIA, IRS, EPA, all of the groups, again, foreign, domestic, government, not government, financial, how many different entities are invested in Democrats holding on to power? Now, what would they do when faced with the prospect of California turning red and all that power vanishing into thin air? What would you do to protect your house, your car, your husband, your wife, your children? What would you do to protect your everything? What's at stake for America's communists and, frankly, the global communists? What's at stake here is exactly that. What's at stake is everything. It's not a small thing. We're not talking about they're stressing about closing the local taco stand. We're talking about you lose the governorship, the state legislature. You eventually are left with nothing, no power, no influence, no money, no more private jets, fancy steak dinners. That's what's at stake for a large number of powerful entities. Now, how far do you think they would take this? Not hard to imagine it going pretty far, right? Anyway, let's move off that. I'm going to talk about something else really quickly. I'm going to talk about something Tulsi Gabbard said. She put something out there publicly today, has a bunch of people on the right angry, and we'll discuss that next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.